stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for the power, performance, and reliability of a new Superstart battery. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, October 24th. We are a week away from Halloween, and your wonderful ears are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. No, I am not the man with the award-winning beard and holy beard. I am not DJ, your usual host. He is off on assignment. He's off on a cruise. So you know what? Enjoy, pal. Like, yeah, I'm not even going to come up with some concocted, you know, cover story for him. He's on a cruise having the time of his life, probably beard deep in some Mai Tai right now. So good for you, buddy. I hope you enjoy and come back refreshed and recharged. But I am the man for the purple haze and cloud nine, a man apparently destined to go through a barber shop window. My tag team partner, as always, is Bucky. I am Jason. I'm going to be your host tonight. And you're my lovely co-host, as always. I was rolling, but I can pick it up again. He's my favorite shoot bear. It's Rob. How are you, sir? The host of the Rob the Genius Show. How are we doing, Rob?
All right. I'm the man who was one bad day from turning into Edward Nygma.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, sometimes, man, sometimes, but you know, it is October 24th. That means the NBA season has started. So you know what? We're going to dive right into things because, you know, without our Lord and Savior and Captain and Commander steering the ship, we're just kind of we're truly give the Mindless Wrestling Podcast its name. So we're going right into things. The NBA kicked off last night, and Rob and I just wanted to spend a few minutes talking to my buddy Rob about his New York Knickerbockers because the Boston Celtics raised their 2024 NBA banner and NBA championship banner that they won last season. They got their rings. Jason Tatum is now an NBA champion. Jaylen Brown is an NBA champion forever. Nana nana boo boo, stick your head in doo doo. That is not towards you, Rob. That is towards the wider folks who never believed in those boys. But I'll be nice about it. And they tied the NBA record for threes against the good old Knickerbockers, which had high hopes and big expectations coming into this season. Rob, what's going on with your team?
I think they were busy watching the Liberty win the WNBA championship.
Shout out to the Liberty and shout out to Ellie. Because yes. Ellie is having the time of her life, and those girls won a fantastic WNBA final.
Yes. And look, man, I don't know. I mean, they shit the bed, man. I think that's one of those games where you burn the tape. Yep.
It is. So, and now we're, your local team, your Washington Wizards, are actually beating the Celtics 26-25 right now with 2 minutes in the first. So, something to look forward to, Rob.
But, well, I wasn't too sure about that whole Julius Randle for Karl-Anthony Towns deal. I think they figured that, well, we got to do something because, as you know, any longtime NBA fan knows, the only thing, look, yeah, you being bad is obviously the worst thing, but the next worst thing to being bad is being stuck in that like first, second round elimination purgatory.
No, that's the worst thing, dude. It's called NBA purgatory. Yeah. Because you're not bad enough to at least get good draft picks. and you're not good enough to be contending for anything. So you just get these middle of the road draft picks, which, you know, it's basically like rolling the dice. That's a horrible place to be in the good old NBA.
Yeah, so we right now they lost in the second round last year, and so you don't want to get stuck there because you
Who did they lose to?
We're not talking about it.
They lost to the NBA champions, bro, Rob. Be proud. Be proud.
Yeah. We lost to that other vile team from Midwest.
Well, that's right. Milwaukee knocked you guys out.
No, it wasn't. It was
ooh.
The truly disgusting team of the Midwest. That was the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, gosh. You know what? The last couple of months have been a blur. So, especially that playoff run. Nirvana and all that good stuff. Oh, cool. So.
But, so basically, you know, last year we were a second round playoff team. And NBA history is littered with teams who won 50 games for like 6 or 7 years in a row and never got past the conference finals. Okay. The one I think of the most was in the early 80s, the Milwaukee Bucks. Don mm-hmm. Nelson was his coach, and they would win 50 games. A couple times they won 60 games, but they were in the same conference with the Sixers and the Celtics. And there were some years where they beat one and then lost to the other one. But they would always lose to one of those two teams. And it, you know, and that for about 5 or 6 years, that's what it was. And then, you know, by the time the Celtics and the Sixers were not started to fall off a little bit, you know, Detroit was there and then it was all over, you know. So you don't want to be that. You don't want to be that team where, you know, again, you have 5 or 6 years where you win 50 games and lose in the second round. Right? You don't want to be that. So they figured, okay, well, we got to do something here. And that's what they chose to do. We'll see how it works. You know,
I think also there's a fit and a gelling thing that needs to happen with those guys. The Celtics were, you know, can't get more complete. You know, they bring back almost the entire championship team. So, you know, they don't have to worry about chemistry or getting the system right or fitting a new, you know, all NBA player in like the Knicks do. So to be fair, you know, it was a shellacking, my God, but you know, it's not like you need to throw out the baby with the bathwater for the Knicks.
Yeah. And you know, so. you guys have your psychopath head coach who probably had them all.
Man. So he came out and during the ring ceremony, he came out and he knelt on the ground and kissed the court. And somebody asked him afterwards, what did it taste like? And he said, blood. Well, I wish it did.
He said that?
Yeah. That's Coach Joe Mazzulla, man. He's a special kind of crazy. I love that dude.
Oh, man, yeah. And doesn't he watch The Town, like, before every game or something?
Oh, he loves The Town, dude. He thinks The Town is the greatest piece of cinema on the planet. It's one of my favorite things about him. He's a crazy Jesus freak. He, like, goes to Jerusalem a lot, and, like, he's really devoted to his faith, I should say. But he's just that. He's a special kind of, he's a very unique individual. And it's to think, I got to gloat about this one because I thought it was, you know, at the time it was horrible. But if Ime Udoka isn't a horny weirdo,
right?
this guy might be buried on the bench on benches or something for the rest of his career.
Right.
Like, crazy. Crazy. So
yeah, and Udoka, you're an idiot, dude.
World class buffoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
You go home knee long every night, and you want to be you want to be running the streets.
You're too old for the streets, man. You're way too old for the streets.
Yes.
So, but any more NBA? What's your earliest finals prediction, Rob?
I think
who over who and how many games? Just throw it out there.
Until somebody beats y'all, it's just Celtics in the East and in the West. I think either Denver or Dallas again. Yeah, Yeah, I think that's what's going to be until somebody knocks one of them off.
I got Boston over Denver in six games. That is my official prediction. So we'll see how long I hold on to it. But
yeah.
Any more thoughts on the NBA season, Rob?
Well, how'd you feel about the Bron Bronny show there?
So, at the end of the day, I think it's all stupid. It's a photo op. I don't think, and I truly genuinely think the kid should have stayed like another year in college or something, or done the G League like directly or something like that. Like, because for nothing else, the kid had a heart attack or a heart issue and lost a year of his career. Also had to recover from a cardiac issue. Like, this kid is a year behind already. So it's all the expectations, all the ridiculousness is unfair to him. Now, all that said, if you can use the 55th pick in the draft, and I can't take this, I've been trying to say this correctly, and Bill Simmons said it on his show today or yesterday. But basically, if you can take the 55th pick in the NBA draft and make your star player 10% better, like through happiness, through rejuvenation, through you get a specific center that plays for his type of game. You know, you get a guy from his college that he likes that just jazzes him up. You get a good player that will play well with him. It's worth it. It's a second round. It's a pick at the end of the second round. They got the photo op out of the way. We did this. We finally did the photo op. He'll be in the G League by Christmas. So, whatever, man. The only thing that I'll say is, okay, you are using a legit roster spot on him now. It's not a two-way contract. Like, that's a legit world roster spot. Playoff teams usually need all the roster spots they can get just to get there. Obviously, in the playoffs, you can only use so many, but just to get there, so I don't know. But again, 55th pick. You made your star player, who's one of the best of all time, if not the best, happier and better and more rejuvenated. It's a win. It is. I can feel any way I feel about it and nepotism and whatever, but who cares? It's a win. And LeBron James kid, you never know, might pan out to be something.
Yeah.
So,
for me, you played 3 minutes. So I don't think Bronny getting 3 minutes a night is going to cost them a playoff spot. Okay. I don't do anything. Cause look, whoever would have been on the team instead of him would have also played 3 minutes.
No, it's all about the fact that you can go deep into your bench in, May or, March and April. You can go deep into your bench and not drive LeBron James and Anthony Daniels or Anthony Davis into the ground. Like, that's the idea of having a deep playoff roster. It's once the playoffs start, all those guys are a non-factor.
But, yeah.
And so you want quality NBA players 1 through 12, which, as nice as I'm being, he's not a quality. LeBron is not a quality NBA player, and I'm going to keep saying it. He lost a year of his career, guys. This is also not a surprise. So I'm not trying to crush the kid.
Yeah, and when that first happened, I immediately thought of Hank Gathers.
Yeah.
I was in high school when that happened, and for those of y'all unfamiliar, Hank Gathers was a guy who played a little Marymount, and he had heart. He died on the court and everything.
Right.
And a heart issue. And so anytime I see NBA player heart problem, I think of Hank Gathers, because I was in college when that happened, and they were in, I think it was like right before the NCAA tournament, I think. And so I immediately think of that. So, thankfully so far he's been doing okay on that end. For me, it's just he's the 12th man. He's literally the 12th man on the 12 man roster. And yes, you do want the deeper bench as you can get, but even with that, the 12th guy barely plays anyway.
Oh yeah.
And as long as he's if that's all he is, then and if you know, like if they're in a playoff hunt and they're trying to get a playoff spot and they're putting him in for 15 minutes a night and it's costing them games and they're still putting him in for 15 minutes every night, then yes, that's a problem. But if he's literally the 12th man on the roster and he's playing 3 minutes and it doesn't cost them anything one way or another, I don't care. I mean, because, and I made an example a few couple days about Giannis's brother, who might be the mascot for the Bucks.
Yeah.
I mean,
but that guy made their star player happy.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, he is completely worthless as a player, other than making Giannis happy by having him there.
He's a good hand, as we would put it in the wrestling business. Yeah, he's not a nothing, but he's a good hand. He'd be at the 9th through 12th man on any other team.
And there's, you know, and there are guys who have been that in the past. And there was a guy, Jack Haley.
Guys who make careers out of it, but yeah. It is Jack what it is.
Jack Haley barely got on the floor. He was Dennis Rodman's boy. And people with, and I think like the Spurs and then the Bulls, when they both brought Rodman on the team, they signed Jack Haley. Why? Because he's Dennis's boy. And as long as Jack is sitting there on the bench, Dennis will be a little less weird. And that's what it was.
Right.
And, you know, it happens. You know, I mean, again, as long as he's not taking minutes and costing them games, it doesn't matter. It doesn't.
So there you go.
Yeah.
What
do you think about this Embiid load management business?
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Coward, loser. Like I'm running out of mean things to say about the guy, but he's just. I can't believe that, like, at least he likes basketball. Like, Ben Simmons might not even like basketball, but I can't believe the draft quality that Philadelphia has. Mikal Bridges, this guy, you know, Ben Simmons, like, wow. They are really good at picking folks. And it sucks, dude. Come on. You're sitting for the first game and you're not injured, like, even if. I don't know. Like, you got to have a legit injury because that's one people, you know, pay extra for, obviously. People are excited for, obviously. It's the first game. And then a day before or whatever it was, oh, he's not playing. He might not play for like a week.
Yeah, come on, man. And he said
that doesn't come out of nowhere.
He's probably not going to do back-to-backs for the rest of his career. And, okay.
Sorry, dude. It's an entertainment product too, and you are a face of the league.
Yeah. Because all right. Now look, I think in 2024 they shouldn't be having back-to-back games, but they do.
Yeah, I think it is. It is ridiculous if you wanted to eliminate them, like the schedule would be so long. But yeah, I mean, at least they got rid of back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah,
they used to do that.
That was insane. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, but I guess because when they do back to back, they have more days off in between before the next game. I mean,
yes, they do generally now.
I mean, so you could, I mean, just by not having the back to back, you could still keep the schedule around the same length. Just
right.
Yeah, just you know, you would have a shorter time in between games.
Yeah,
but you know what? I mean, but the league, as it is, has back-to-back games, and there are your contemporaries play back-to-back games, and the load management stuff has not cut down on injuries. It's been proven it has not reduced injuries at all, or because that was supposed to be the big thing is, you know, that
it yeah the games played for everybody has gone down. And the rate of injury has remained the same.
Yeah. And so to that end, but you know, these you know, these GMs and coaches, they, you know, when they get stuck on a trend and they don't want to get off of it. But again, it, you know, and then look, and dude, you play for the franchise with Allen Iverson, used to go out there at 5'10", 150 pounds and get the shit knocked out of him every night. Okay. And was suit back in the next game. All right. I mean,
yeah, Philly is probably one of the worst cities to not be a tough guy, to be perfectly honest.
Exactly. I mean,
it's their whole thing, you know, Rocky, exactly. Et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. I mean, so, I mean, dude, and you know what? And I mean, if you're worried about your body breaking down, look, man, everybody's not born with the same body. And so if you look, man, it's just, it is what it is, you know. And you're getting judged more harshly anyway. You know, I mean, yes, it's unfortunate when people have injury plagued careers, they get, you know, their careers get looked at less favorably, and that's not really their fault most of the time. But it ain't doing your reputation no good not playing. You know, I mean, you know, I think like Bill Walton, you know, because I mean, his career was very plagued by injuries the whole time, and it was very unfortunate, his NBA career. But he gutted it out, and he did what he could, right? And so, yeah, I mean, his NBA career was not as good as Moses Malone's, right, or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's, or whatever, right? Guys who did not get injured like that. But he has the respect of people for gutting it out and doing, you know, doing everything he could do. And nobody calls him a bum of an NBA player, because I mean, everybody understood what the deal was. So if you are going out there and gutting out, and you do get injured a lot, you know, gutting it out, then I mean, we'll respect you for that. You know, but when you just say, "Oh, no, I'm not gonna play," and again, like I said, people pay, you know, people are paying ridiculous prices.
It's crazy. I mean, just, I'm not, we're not going to do the, you know, we pay your salary thing, even though, you know, that's how the collective bargaining agreement works, but I digress. You know how expensive it is for normal folks to go out now?
Right.
Like,
and that's the thing.
And they chose to go to do into in all the things they could do in this world, they chose to go to an NBA basketball game. They probably, if they went to Wells Fargo, probably wanted to see you.
Yeah.
So, and,
you know, they cleared out their calendar. They might have had to save, you know, they had to save up maybe to get that one ticket for that one game. You know, and yeah, man. So it's just, I mean, dude, you need to go and play. And like, I mean, they're not sending you out there like, you know, you're not in the concussion protocol or something, and they're sending you out there a week later when you need to be sitting at home for a month. This isn't that, okay?
Hey, have a minutes restriction on night two of back to back. Yeah, Joel doesn't play more than 20. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay, I can live with that. Like that, when they do minutes restrictions and stuff, I'm like, that's fine. That makes sense. You're still getting some NBA exercise, but you're, you know, not going to blow yourself up if you're coming back from injury or you're trying to, you know, baby something or something like that. You know, and obviously that fills the entertainment quota too, because, you know, again, shit's expensive. Cable's expensive. Like, and it is really for the folks going to see it, because I'm sorry, there's still nothing like seeing an NBA. It's like wrestling. Like you WrestleMania, you got to see it live. It's seeing these guys actually, like these giants, just glide down the court and like they're not 7 feet tall is just it's just magical in real life. And I unfortunately have to put him over. I have seen Joel in person, and yes, it is an awesome experience. So, you know, when he's right, man, he's cooking, you know, he's banging people around and putting it up and snatching rebounds. And dude, So, and again, to see that in real life is different than seeing it on TV. So, and people pay good money for that shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, if we'd gone to WrestleMania and then Roman just said, ah, fucking nothing tonight. Right.
Right.
Or if you went to SmackDown or even like a house show or something, and if you knew that.
I was kind of pissed that we didn't get The Rock and Roman.
Yeah.
They kind of sold me a bill of goods on that one. I already had my ticket, but hey.
Yeah. I mean, but. Or if you tune into an episode of, like, I watch Law and Order, right? If they put up a little blurb at the beginning, like, you know what? Mariska didn't feel like doing this episode, so she ain't here tonight. You know, I mean, you'd be like, what the fuck, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, just play your game, Joel, because you are good. And yeah. It's fun to watch you play basketball, and we want to do it more often. So, yeah,
find a better way to manage your, you know, wear and tear on you other than just saying, fuck it, I'm not going to play these games.
Yep. And it does anybody any but good to set a fiat like that. Like, never again. Like, dude, let's get through this year. How about that? Like, yeah. You know, just say it was like, for a while, you know, you could save yourself a whole headache. Be like, for a while. Okay, fine. Obviously you're injured because you're coming back from something. But I don't know. But yeah, just a bonehead kind of statement. But I think he'll probably, we'll see him in back-to-backs and stuff like that. They'll find a better way to manage this, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Bullying works. So, I mean.
Bullying does work, so. And no one's better at bullying than the people of Philadelphia.
Right.
So, those, you know, subhuman weirdos. Gotta love them.
Yeah,
all right, Rob, any more thoughts on the NBA?
No. Because we'll be here all night.
Yeah, true. Yeah, if you get me going, I'll be taking a tour around all 32 teams. So let's not do that. Anyway, let's move on to Bound for Glory is coming up this weekend, the TNA show. And yes. It is their – it's not their WrestleMania, is it?
Yeah, it is actually. Yes, it is.
Okay. For some reason, I had a different name in my mind. What's their other big show?
Slammiversary. I think that's the other big one. Okay. Those are two biggest ones.
Gotcha.
Glory and Slammiversary.
So, Bound for Glory is this weekend. Robert has the card. We're just going to go through it really quickly. I don't even know if we're going to go match by match, but I will probably end up getting this show because there's nothing else going on. Rob is definitely going to get it. So, Rob, take the floor.
All right. So, there are 8 matches on the main card.
You can burn through 8.
Yeah. Well, we can, so the biggest ones, all right, so for the Knockouts Tag Team title, Spitfire, Jody Threat, and Danny Luna taking on Rosemary and Wendy Chu from NXT. That should be a fun match. And I expect, you know, I mean, Spitfire will more than likely keep the titles, but that should be a fun match.
Maybe they'll do some spooky-dooky magic stuff.
Yes. And Wendy is a perfect fit with, like, Rosemary and all that gang, you know, that does that stuff over there.
That's been, like, the biggest talent share that they've had, really. Because, like, Wendy and Rosemary go back and forth on all the shows.
Yeah.
And they've been booked for stuff. So, yeah, it's just pretty funny. I didn't think that would be the, you know, the real hook for the TNA relationship. But, hey.
And we have for the X Division Championship Speedball, Mike Bailey against El Hijo del Vikingo. And I just.
Ooh, Vikingo.
And that should be they're going to be doing all types of crazy shit.
Yeah, they're going to be flipping off stuff and it's going to be nasty.
Yeah. Well, that should be fun to watch, though. We have a 3-way Full Metal Mayhem match for the TNA World Tag Team Championship. Now, I'm not familiar with what Full Metal Mayhem is, but
let's just assume it's some sort of street fight environment. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, so it's the system, Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards defending against Ace Austin and Chris Bay and the Hardys, Matt and Jeff.
Well, let's go. Oh man, that's tough because there's like one person on, obviously the Hardys. No, thank you. But there's one person on each team that I like, so that's tough. I like Chris Bay. So
yeah, I mean, him and I love him and Ace Austin. They've probably been like the past year or so, or maybe 2 years. They've probably the most consistently good tag team in the whole business, basically. I mean, if you look at like the entire last 2 years, because you know Jimmy and Jay haven't been together for a year, so
they also successfully. I haven't seen much of them, but of their pairing, but from what I've seen, they just strike me as like they're hamming it up like Final Fantasy, not villains, but like antagonists.
Yeah, and they do a lot of cool like double team stuff and whatnot.
Yeah,
they're a really fun team to watch.
Cool.
And we have for the TNA Knockouts World Championship, Jordynne Grace and Masha Slamovich.
Ooh.
And they had a match a couple of years ago. I have to go back and watch that again. But this should be really good. And I think either here or at Hard to Kill in January, Masha's going to probably win the title because, you know, some inside baseball stuff here. Jordan's contract is coming to an end. And everyone pretty much expects her to make the jump. So, and Masha's kind of been like next in line for a while now.
Sorry, I've never been live for one of these before. It is 3:50 to go in the second quarter. We have a wedgie. Rob, we have a wedgie in the Celtics and Washington game.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
That's
what a wedgie is, right?
That's the kind of investigative reporting you can't get just anywhere, guys.
Rob, tell me you know what a wedgie is.
Yeah, I don't know what a wedgie is.
Okay. For our listeners, it's when the ball gets magically stuck between the backboard and the...
I thought you meant the other kind of wedgie.
Oh, no! God, dude, no, dude. It's when the ball gets stuck between the backboard and the rim. Oh, you know, it just kind of thunk, like, sticks there and it wedges itself in there. It's a wedgie.
Because I was sitting there like why are you talking about this? Like, why
is it? Oh, dude. No, wedgie. It's the wedgie alert. We had a wedgie.
Okay.
Very important. Jeez, Rob. Rob's thinking Jason Tatum's pulling people's underpants.
Right.
Jeez. All right. Anyway, so Bound for Glory. Masha's going to win that thing eventually, I would imagine. Jordynne Grace. NXT Women's Champion by next April.
And I guess then, so the last noteworthy match is for the TNA World Championship. Nick Nemeth, you know, known to a lot of you guys as Dolph Ziggler from WWE, will be defending against Joe Hendry.
There we go. And unless Joe's contract is ending sometime soon, I look for him to get crowned too. Because
I think you got
he's to. Not going to get hotter until he goes to WWE.
Yeah. So I don't think should he do that. I don't think he's never going to. I wouldn't predict him to reach the heights there that he has here. You know, if he does go.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of that peak moment where like you got to do it, and because yeah, I mean, if you're not gonna do it here, then you know what's the point? I think he's going to win this thing, and you know, just to cap off the year for him, this has been an amazing year for him, and you know, and if he does stay, I think pretty much we're gonna see him in the Royal Rumble. You know, definitely. But
oh yeah.
But I think
he'll be 29 and then Brock will throw him out at 30.
Yeah. But this has been an amazing year for him, and this is the right time and the right point. Yeah, because if you're not gonna crown him, don't put him in a match. I think we're kind of at that point with it. I mean, if you're not going to do it, then don't even bother to have him put him in the match if you're not going to do it.
Well, is this his first crack at it?
I don't know, because, see, he's been doing this thing for a while. I didn't know that. It caught fire this year.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, he's been doing the,
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for the power, performance, and reliability of a new SuperStart battery. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
He's been doing this type of, you know, the I Believe in Joe Hendry thing for a while. It just, this year, it really caught on fire, and it just blew up.
Well, you should reward it.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right, man. Anything else on Bound for Glory?
There's some other matches, but the ones I said, those are the ones that are...
Any other NXT people?
No.
Okay. All right. So I suppose we'll take a quick commercial break. Before we do, I want to remind everyone to go over to ProWrestlingTees.com. There you can find all your favorite ChairShot Radio Network podcasts in t-shirt form. You could wear us on your bodies, ladies and gentlemen. Who doesn't want to wear the Mindless Wrestling Podcast on your body everywhere you go? So go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick one up in soft style. Your body will thank you. These wonderfully starving artists will thank you. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking NXT Halloween Havoc.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, everybody, we are back. You are listening to the Mindless Trade. Already screwing it up. We miss you, DJ. Come back from that cruise, please. You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are from the ChairShot Radio Network. Please visit us, ChairShotRadio.com, where we remind you to always use your head. So we are talking NXT Halloween Havoc. We're just going to dive right into the card. I've got the wheel for this one. So we're going to start off with the Ace. And forgive me if this card is not updated and they already spun the wheel, made the deal. But this is going to be a spin the wheel, make the deal, spinner's choice match for the NXT Women's North American Championship. Kalani Jordan is defending against Fallon Henley, JC Jane, or Nyx? What? Or Jasmine Nyx? Or?
Yeah. Oh, so the way that's up, so they get to choose which one is going to challenge her.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So it's going to be one of the three, and they get to choose which one of Fatal Influence is the name of the group.
Ah, okay.
Not to be confused with Toxic Attraction.
No, never ever. So yeah, I mean, do you think? I could see Kalani taking a loss here because I mean it's going to be basically three against one. You know.
Yeah, and
Kalani's done just fine with the belt. She wouldn't lose anything by losing it. I don't think it suddenly is a detriment or like a commentary on her or anything like that. Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah, I think. I think it wouldn't surprise me if the title changed here.
Yeah, I mean, Bozos are already asking for Kalani to get called up. So first of all, calm. Yes, that's ludicrous. Like, and we are very high on Kalani on this show. Check the tape. I beg of you.
Yeah, we're not haters, but...
No, not at all. I think we've put her over any chance we've got. So, in any case, I also look for her to probably lose to one of these guys, because like I said, it's 3-on-1. They're the bad guys. Spin the wheel, make the deal. Maybe we get a heroic comeback, but, you know, Kalani can move on and do other stuff.
Yeah.
So, next up, we have a good old-fashioned ambulance match, and I look for this one to be just violent as all get out because it's going to be a ton of fun. We have Andre Chase of Chase University fighting Ridge Holland, the sick and twisted and crazy Ridge Holland who just can't stop hurting people. I still can't believe we're leaning into this gimmick, but they've successfully made me turn the corner where I'm not like wincing every time we're talking about it. Due to the, you know, the big E sized elephant in the room. They successfully worked it enough that where I don't feel like it's cringy anymore. Now I'm just like, I don't feel any which way about Ridge. And that's before everything with him. So I don't know. But regardless, Andre Chase is very entertaining. And in this environment, I expect Andre Chase to be very entertaining. I also look for Andre Chase to win. Rob?
Yeah, I think so too. And I think what happens, I think the rest of the gang will get involved. Yeah, at various points in the match.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think he'll take the win. He'll get the win here.
Very good. So next up, we have a tag team match. I believe my co-host predicted this happening a couple of weeks ago. We have Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade versus Julia and Stephanie Vaquer. So these girls are going to – I'm setting my expectations high because they – Julia and Stephanie have both proven that to me – who knew nothing about them other than the IWC was excited for them to get here. And that time I saw Stephanie on AEW, like both of them are as advertised. And we know that Roxanne and Cora can go, and their stars are only getting brighter every month. So this is going to be a ton of fun. Like, it's a sneaky match of the night candidate for me. Am I being crazy, Rob?
No, because, look, I think it'll be the best wrestling match of the night for sure. Because, you know, we got gimmicks and a couple of other things. And so, yeah, I think this will be the other matches are all gimmick, basically. So I think this will definitely be the best wrestling match of the night for sure.
Right. Stephanie and Julia win, right?
Yeah, they got to. Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah, they got. Yeah, I think they got.
Right. Cora and Roxanne don't lose a step.
No, and I think because this little feud they got going on here is gonna, they're gonna get a couple more months out of this, because I know some people they weren't happy with, Roxanne winning that first match, but it's like When she loses the title, she's going up to the main roster. So why the hell do you want her to lose the title in October?
Right.
I mean.
So yeah, maybe, let her hold on to it. It's gonna go for a while.
Yeah, and so I think they might have.
They both did.
Yeah, so just and there's no point in rushing it, and. Yeah, but I think this will probably be the best wrestling match of the night, I think. And I think, and again, I think Stephanie and Julia will win.
All righty. So next up, we have the North American Championship being defended by Tony D'Angelo against Obafemi in a spin the wheel, make the deal match. The deal is already made. It is a tables, ladders, and scares match. So I expect this to be full gimmick. And especially with these two guys, they're going to go crashing through stuff. And I think Tony pulls out a win here with the, by aid of the family. It can only be won by pinfall, apparently. But I expect shenanigans to ensue and Tony to free himself of Obafemi. Rob?
Yeah, I think it could go either way. I could see both either guy winning this. But at this point, I think it would be better for Tony to hang on to it because, Oba basically did what he came to do with the North American title. So I don't see the point in, running it back with him.
No.
You know, under, you know, um, So I think, you know, I think that'll free him up to move on to some other things. He could get in a feud with somebody else, and of course, he will eventually win the big NXT title some point next year. But for now, I think it'd be better for Tony to win here, because again, you know, there's nothing else for Ober to do with the North American title. So. And honestly, I think as much as, look, I love Tony and the family, his characters. I think, you know, they're kind of a lower ceiling as far as how far that can go. So
North American title is probably perfect for them.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So last up, we have Trick Williams defending his title, the NXT Championship, against Ethan Page. So we have a spin the wheel, make the deal. It's a Devil's Playground match, which no idea what that is. I'm going to assume some sort of gimmick street fight environment again. So yeah. I see no reason to take the title off Trick. And Ethan Page could go up to the main roster anytime he wanted to. So Ethan's going to, you know, pratfall into a loss here. Rob?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah. Because now, this is the time, this is when Trick should get his longer title reign. There's no point in him losing it again and then just to win it back again a month later or something. There's no point in that. So I think, yeah, he wins here. He holds on to it. And yeah, I think Ethan will be able to be. Sometime point next year, he'll probably be moving up because he's a veteran. He doesn't need 3 years of developmental. You know?
No, he's been on weekly episodic television, actually.
Yeah, for some time now. So yeah, I mean, all he had to do was learn how to do that in WWE, and I think, you know, he'll be fine. So yeah, I think Trick definitely wins here.
All right. Well, that brings our Halloween Havoc to a close. Thank you, everyone. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I will be on location for this show, by the way.
You probably should have led with that, man.
I'm sorry. Yes, I will be traveling to Hershey, Pennsylvania. It's about an hour and 45 minutes from here. So I will be driving up on Sunday and, you know, come back Monday. And I got a pretty good seat in the lower level. So, a couple of people we know, Big Jim is from Three Count Thursday. He's going to be there. We've already, we were on a podcast together last night talking about some other things. But he's going to be there. And so we'll try to link up with him there.
Excellent. So, well, I expect a full report.
Yes.
Good. Well, Rob, do you have anything else you want to get off your chest tonight?
Oh, well, we did have a question from one of our lawyers.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We had a whole thing we wanted to talk about. Jesus, yes. I'm a terrible host. DJ, we miss you. Miss you, buddy.
Yes, our buddy Nicole posed a question to us about things we would like to see in 2025.
So, I would like to see... it's time for... we beat this drum. Rob, how often do we beat the old Evolution drum, would you say, on this show? 8 months? Every 8 months?
Yeah, something like that.
We're due.
Yeah, now I guess the one condition is that requires them to, you know, do storylines and whatnot such that there's actually some anticipation for it beyond just, yay, more women's pay-per-view, right?
Well, so Rob and I, this is kind of a two-pronged thing that Rob and I talked about before the show. And for 2025, we want the all-out blitz for women's wrestling and from WWE. And we say that because, Rob, your theory of the Voltrons basically coming back?
Yeah, if you look at the history of the kind of women's revolution, it was built on the biggest name people fighting each other, and they didn't waste any time. Because look, when Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha came up, they feuded with Nikki and Brie Bella. That was the first thing they did, and it stayed that way for many years, that the big names fought each other. They feuded with each other. And they've gotten away from it the past couple of years. Now, some of that, and some of that's, you know, there have been some absences, so that's part of it. But there have also been some times where they did have enough of them around to do more than they did. And so next year, we're expecting, you know, Charlotte has been injured this year, so she will, you know, presumably be back next year. Asuka's been out with injury. She will presumably be back next year. Alexa Bliss has been out on paternity. She's been training at the PC a little bit, so she will probably be back next year at some point. And we are all still at this point assuming that Becky Lynch is going to re-sign and then show back up at some point also. That's four, you know, of your biggest women stars, you know, four of the, I mean, I call them like the big, the 10 women who have kind of led that division since the, you know, revolution started. And that's four of them that'll be back, that we are expecting back next year. And so we need, they need to get back to doing what they used to do. And yes, I know that means that that means that some people are going to get bumped down. Some people are not going to get as much time as they used to. But the thing about it is,
well, hang on. One thing that has changed since the times you're talking about, you know, when, you know, Becky would appear and immediately feud with Charlotte, and, you know, the whoever would come up and immediately feud with the Bellas. That, there's a whole healthy women's undercard now. Like, they don't just have like one women's match. So I think there is more room to, yes, it, just with those four women coming back or whoever coming back, there's going to be a trickle down and then people are going to, you know, get bumped down the card and whatnot. But it, but to your point, I don't think it would be as severe as it used to be.
Well, no, the thing about it is, because I've said this before, when they've had all those women there before, the end result was more matches. It wasn't like those women didn't hog up the two matches on the card or whatever. That they booked more matches.
They booked three matches.
They booked three and in some cases four. Okay. When they had all or most of those women there. That's how it always was. And so therefore, you know, if that holds up to history, then it'll mean that, it'll mean more. Now, of course, we have shorter PLEs now, so that'll be, you know, so that kind of, those two things will kind of be working against each other. But you'll still get, I mean, you'll get more time on TV even every week, you know, regardless of how the PLE situation goes, because when those women are there, I can tell you, when Charlotte is wrestling on TV, the division gets more time. When Becky's wrestling on TV, the division gets more time. Like, they don't, like you said, they don't hog the one match. The division gets more time when those women are there. Because one,
I'm not going to break him. I'm not going to make him break out his notebooks and whatnot. But Rob has literally crunched the numbers on this on previous shows. This is factual information. There is more time in general for the women's division when any of those women are cooking.
Yes. And I mean, even down to Ronda Rousey, Ronda got people on TV who normally would not have gotten on TV as much, or got people pay-per-view matches who would not have gotten those level of pay-per-view matches. So it matters. Having those women there matters. And, you know, because
the point is, we want for 2025, you're getting these women back. It's time to do something with them. And I mean, for the whole division.
Yes.
And that means, please God, let's do another all women's pay-per-view. It's time. You got two belts. You got two, hopefully a mid-card title soon for that. That'll probably, you know, be eligible on both shows or something like that. That'll be the wild card title or something. But in any case, a mid-card title, you've got the NXT girls, the divisions are stacked with good wrestlers. Let's do a show.
Yeah, and then let's, you know, and let's give, you know, let's create proper storylines and proper build for all of these matches, because, you know, so we're not doing a participation trophy show, you know, so to speak. You
know, exactly. We can give this the build it deserves. You know, you can build it, and you love Survivor Series when you can do cross promotional shows, you know, cross promotional stuff. Do it with this. You can, this is leading to Evolution on the Peacock. This is leading to Evolution 2 on the Peacock. This is, you know, this match will be on Evolution 2 at the Peacock. You know, it's very easy.
Yeah. And so I think it's time. And, you know, actually, this is the biggest women's roster that they've ever had. And so again, with all those people coming back, you know, you can't hold off on some of these things forever. And so now, because listen, I thought I would never be saying this, but when it comes to the pay-per-view matches, AEW, you know, I've watched most of the AEW pay-per-views this year, and as far as their pay-per-view matches, I can pick several of theirs, you know, their women's pay-per-view matches that were better than the stuff WWE was putting out this year. And next year, you know, when you have everybody back or almost everybody back, it's time to remind everybody of, you know, just, you know, how good the WWE women's division can be. Because, you know, it just, you know, those matchups have been lacking this year. There've been a couple of individual matches, but it was built on feuds, right? I mean, where your top women go back and forth and, you know, and they have big matches, plural, against each other. And that's been missing. And it's time to get back to that, you know.
So the other thing for 2025 that I need to see is, I assume Seth Rollins will come back at some point.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is already back. The bill comes due, man. It always comes due, and it's we can't keep putting this off forever. I don't know if Roman's got to like pull his head off or something, but we got to do something. Seth Rollins has needs to pay for his crimes.
Yes, he's long overdue. Yes, he has a
long list, my friend, and that Survivor Series or SummerSlam or whatever, the choke out was not enough. We need more, especially now after WrestleMania. So, and just in seriously in storyline at this point, if Roman goes a year without like mentioning it, something's wrong. So, I mean, it's fine if you want to punt like a year on that and, you know, save it for a big show, possibly even a WrestleMania or something like that. But like, we got to start planting some seeds here, because, man, the dude caught him and Dwayne are the biggest reasons he lost the title. So,
yeah,
it wasn't Cody. You know, exactly. Cody just happened to be there. Cody didn't win the title. Roman lost it. So, Seth Rollins, you must pay for your crimes in 2025. Rob, what else you got for 2025?
I want the tag team divisions to be tag team divisions again, and not just the who gets to lose to the faction, you know, game.
Yeah, it's time. It's bad at this point because, you know, it's happening on both shows. We don't the tag divisions are just spinning their wheels. We got most of the machine guns are here, so like. Okay, we got to get going, guys.
Yeah, I mean, like the teams need to be, you know, you have enough tag teams that have self-contained divisions where they feud with each other, and where, you know, where your team's feuding with each other and not just challenging for the title, the you know the Vikings are back, or they're back to being the War Raiders now, but they're back. And you know, because we're going on what, almost two years now, where it's just the faction holds the belts and the other tag teams are just there to get beat.
Like, at least the Usos, like, let's find as far back as that, like, the Usos had a match on the PLE every month. Like, they would win by hook or by crook, but they would win. But still, at least they had a match against a team of the month, you know, to continue their dominant reign. Like, this stuff of, you know, we got tag guys in singles matches on the card, on pay-per-views. It's, come on, it's time. We got to have at least one of them. You got to free one of them up.
Yeah, so it's that's what I'm hoping for. One thing I'm hoping for next year also, just, and look, I mean, and that's true. Look, yeah, because we got too many good teams now, and also I guess then on the women's side, I hope they keep up what they've been doing for like the last month, because you know when we talk about the women's tag team thing, it all depends on who's holding the belts and who they, you know, and
who's chasing them.
Yeah, who's holding the belts and who's chasing them. The division gets booked better when you have some of those bigger name people at least in one of those two roles, or, you know, and again, that's just what it is, folks. I mean, I know, you know, people want more people to get turns, but, you know,
that's how we do it.
Look, and also
how you get everybody turns, is you put these top people in the top.
Yeah. And,
and we're not just saying that to say, like, you know, cause that's what the bookers tell us. Like, Rob has run the numbers. I won't make him grab his notebook, but
yeah, I mean, they book these things differently when those people are in those positions. I mean, and so for all the talk about people getting turns, when some of those other folks get turns, they end up still not getting a lot of time. They book it differently. That's just what it is. So if you want to see these divisions, particularly the women's divisions, if you want to see these women's divisions thrive, then, you know, the people who are usually at the top, you know, they need to be back in there, and they need to be, you know, running things through them again. That's just what it is, folks.
Gotta have the breadwinners.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
you know what? Sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
Oh, and look, and at the end of the day, you know, the women who are good enough to be at that level they'll do it. Look, I mean, because you know, Bianca did it. Rhea Ripley has done it. Alexa Bliss did it when she got drafted. Nia Jax did it after she got, you know, she came up. Right. Asuka, of course, is Asuka. She's great, but she did it from day one. Like, it's never just been the horsewomen and then nobody else gets anything. Like, you gotta prove you belong up there with them. And that's the thing. And the women who are good enough.
Ronda Rousey. No, Jesus, I almost said the wrong name. Liv Morgan. Brought to you by Ronda Rousey.
Yes. If Ronda doesn't, you know, if. Exactly. So it's.
If Ronda doesn't do that deal to lose to her and give her that run and lose to her a couple of times, Liv Morgan's in a completely different orbit.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but, you know, if you want, they book it differently when those girls aren't there, you know, when.
Right.
And again, you got to prove you belong. And
well, and I was going to say, Liv took that opportunity and grabbed the bull by the horns and showed up and showed out every single week during that run. And thus the back was at the back and us went, oh, yeah, OK, we'll play along. Yeah, you're a champion. Got it. So it was not just, you know, more. Oh, she beat Ronda Rousey. Liv took that opportunity and ran with it. So, anything else on that, Rob?
No, just all the things we're hoping to see. You know, and So, you know, let's hope that we can get into some of those things next year, because it'd be really good to see some of that stuff.
Oh, and another thing I'd like to see in 2025, another parade, you know, of a sea of green going down Boylston Street. Let's bring that. Let's bring Larry home again. He loves it. You know, he loves it here. Larry loves it here. Oh, man. If they repeat, I will be unbearable.
Oh, grief.
All right, Rob. What do you say we call the go-home spot, huh?
Let's do that, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go around the room, such as it is. I have been Jason, your lovely host, such as it is. We have missed DJ. DJ, we love you. Please come back. You know, we always struggle without you, as you're invariably going to hear on this podcast. So we love you. I've been Jason. I've been blessed to do this job for 1 week, and I already want to give DJ back the headset. So there you go. So Rob, any last messages for the people before we get out of here?
No.
Good.
Hopefully, we'll have a better handle on things next week when our captain is back.
Exactly. All right, folks. Well, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. And we're out of here till next week.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.